Thank you, praise team. Good morning. We seem bright and shiny today for some reason. Everybody's smiling and you're all happy faces. I know sometimes you think that's the way it always is, but from my perspective, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we come in here kind of there, and so I want to be here. I think today I'm here and you guys are there. So if we ever get this thing together, we're going to be on fire. But we're in John chapter 14. We're going to continue. Let me think for a second. This part of this anxiety with John chapter 14 is that it's such a great chapter for us as believers. If there was ever a chapter you wanted to stay and meditate on all the time, it would be this chapter, because the promises, the truth that Jesus is giving his disciples are the same truth that we have today. And so those things are supposed to comfort us, but they're also supposed to give us confidence. Okay, in who we are in Christ, how this relationship works, and how we function. And so if you don't know how the Holy Spirit functions in your life, then you're basically grasping, you're basically still blind. I remember when I was very, very new Christian, I went before a board of elders for one reason or another. But the important thing is that they asked me, one of the first questions they asked me, which was kind of ironic now that I think about it, but anyway, one of the first questions they asked me was, what does the Holy Spirit do for me? And I had no idea. I'd been a believer for 2 years, and I couldn't answer them. Okay? And so I thought, man, what a great question. And so every class that I teach just about, or whenever I do, just sharing with believers, I ask that question often. What does the Holy Spirit do for you? And man, I'm never amazed that people have no idea. You know? Who the Holy Spirit is, what the Holy Spirit does, why the Holy Spirit was given in the first place. And so this is our conversation today. This is our teaching today. What does the Holy Spirit do for believers? Now, there's probably about five basic parts within the Gospel of John that talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, but we are just going to talk about three today. Three aspects of the Holy Spirit, probably maybe the most important aspects. And so as we look at John chapter 14 again, as we continue, we're going to go from verses 15 to 26. We're going to talk about why Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, what the role of the Holy Spirit is, okay, what he does for us, okay, in the big picture, so that we can have an understanding, so that we can be able to see and act appropriately. If you have no idea what the Holy Spirit does, I don't know how you make it as a believer. And in fact, probably truth be known, you don't know. And so as we look at this, let's read our verses this morning and then we'll pray through this. Hopefully, just thinking about this morning as I pray and then you pray, is this, that we would have clarity in this. This is one of the stresses I have this morning, is that I want to be clear in this. I have it in my mind, but there's a million things I could say, but I want to keep it simple. I want you to understand the three basic things that Jesus is trying to say here. So let's read these verses through 26. We'll pray, and then we'll go to work this morning. We'll look at the text. Verse 15 is where we left off last week. This is where we'll start this morning. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it does not see him or know him, but you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I said to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning, and some of us are a little foggy as to exactly what the Spirit does. It's not out of context, though, as the disciples in this passage, Lord, most assuredly have no idea. And so we just pray this morning for clarity in this, that we would get this in our heart and our minds, that we would be able to please you, that we would be able to understand that you have not abandoned us, that you have been with us the whole time, that the Holy Spirit is with us the whole time, and that we have this comfort and this strength. We have this confidence that we can seize because of your promises. And so as we look at these verses this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would do exactly what this text says, Father God, that it would give us confidence in you, Lord Jesus, give us confidence in who you are, what you have done, and what is to come. And so we just pray this fervently this morning, Father, please. Jesus, you said anything that we ask in your name, you will do it. And we ask this morning for clarity and understanding, for wisdom. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for the opportunity this morning to worship you in your great name. Amen. Is there a little bass for me behind here? Can we kill that? It's ringing in my ears. I don't want to be too loud this morning. One of the things that's important in John chapter 14 that we need to remember, that we need to think about, is who Jesus is speaking to, okay, in context. And the reason that's important is because some of these verses, believe me, there's no shortage of false teaching out there that tries to take these out of context and make them apply to today. When Jesus says, for instance, in verse 15, or I'm sorry, when he says that in verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you a helper that he may be with you forever. Some people take that as to mean, well, all believers get the Spirit of God in the future in some sense and whatnot. And that's not the truth. The truth is that when you believe, when you receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you get the Spirit immediately. But for the disciples, the Spirit had not been given yet. Remember, he was alongside of them, but he was not in them. Not until Jesus returns to the Father will the Holy Spirit come and actually indwell believers. So it's important to understand that in context as we go through this. Now, he's been calling his disciples to an increased confidence in himself. Remember, as we've gone through this whole chapter. And so even though he's returning to the Father via the cross, Jesus always lets them know that he's going to be with them to the very end. And in this particular context, he's telling them, look, I'm still going to be with you, and it's going to be even in a greater capacity than it was when I was walking with you on this earth, right? If they would simply just place their trust, remember we saw that in verse 2, believe, you believe in God, believe in me. He assured them that his departing, that there would be a place for them in heaven. Remember that in verse 2? That he would come back to them in verse 3, and that Jesus would show them the way by revealing the truth, and that there would be eternal life for them forever, okay, based on this, okay? And so to top this off, Jesus assured the disciples that his ministry or his works or their ministry would be even greater after he departed than even it was when he walked with them on this earth, right? And so remember, these disciples are worried at this point. This is a big deal for them. Jesus is going away and they're wondering how we're going to get along without him. He's been our power, our comfort, our protector. He's been all of these things for us while we walked on earth. And now he says he's leaving, right? And so they're freaking out. They're confused at the moment. But there is coming a time, Jesus says, when you guys will understand. After I leave, I return to the Father. You're going to understand these things. You're going to know what I'm speaking about now, but it's important that you listen and understand. And so that's where we're at in our passage, right? Jesus said in verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled if you see it, right? This is his whole point. Man, I want you guys to get this. I want you to understand this. Do not let your heart be troubled, right? Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. As long as it goes along with the will of the Father, as long as it's what the Father wants, I will do it. I will give you another helper, he says in our passage today. I will give you another helper. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Okay? And so this is going to be reassuring to them. And even though they don't understand, you got to remember, they're thinking, okay, well, you know, that's great, but what does that mean? Okay? After the cross, as we'll see in a few chapters, it's really going to become relevant for them. They're going to go, oh my gosh, this is what he was talking about, right? At the moment of most trial. But now, Jesus says, it's going to be even in a greater capacity. Jesus, no longer limited by a human body, will indwell every believer and be everywhere at the same time. Something that wasn't possible while he walked on this earth. And so he calls him the Helper, the Holy Spirit, right? He's not just going to come alongside the disciples. He doesn't just come alongside of us. It's not as though the Holy Spirit is here and we're here. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, is here. Inside. Working from the inside. You don't pray, Holy Spirit, come today and fill us up. Holy Spirit, come today and help us out. Holy Spirit, be with me on my road trip. You hear that all the time, right? People, we pray that we'll have safe travel. Well, you know, okay? It's not like the Holy Spirit goes away, has his own room somewhere. He dwells within you. Christ dwells within you. So what does the Holy Spirit do for a believer, right? Well, we already know from chapter 3 in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms men's hearts, right? Causes us to be born again, causes us to be alive. Not anything we do. He chooses when to make men alive. And so we saw that in chapter 3. And so we're going to see three more things in John chapter 14 that I want you to pay attention to in the next 11 verses. There's several more that we're going to see, but we're going to talk about three today. And here's the three as we get ready to go through these. First, the Holy Spirit causes us to know, love, and obey Jesus. Okay? That's a big deal for us. Okay? As we'll see here in just a minute. Second thing the Holy Spirit does is causes us to be united with Himself and also Jesus Christ. Okay? Forever. United. Perfect union. Right? And the third thing the Holy Spirit causes us to have is a supernatural understanding. A supernatural understanding. That doesn't mean that if you have the Holy Spirit that you know how to split an atom with an electronic microscope. That's not what it means. It means that you accept and receive the Word of God for what it is as really the words of God and you believe. Okay, that's what supernatural understanding means. Okay, you're not getting some kind of special knowledge. Okay, you get the knowledge of Christ. And so now some of these things as we go through these in the verses are overlapping, but we'll just teach each one in context. But let's look at the first aspect of the role of the Holy Spirit, which is really, I think it's super important on this. Well, they're all important, but this one here speaks to my heart this morning, is that the Holy Spirit causes us to know, love, and obey Christ. Now, who here does not have a problem with obedience to Christ, right? Nobody. Everybody's like, man, how do you do that, right? How do we be obedient to Christ? I mean, this is what he says in effect in verses 13 through 15. Look what he says, right? Whatever you ask in my name, right, as long as it's with the will of the Father, that very thing I will do. And all you have to do, Jesus says in verse 15, our first verse, is love me, right? That's what he says. All you got to do is love me, and whatever you ask in my name, I will give it to you. But he also says something else. Look at verse 15. If you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. Wow. So how do you do that? Because I'm sure the disciples are thinking the same thing. We're stuck, right? First of all, we're working on the love thing, but we haven't done that very perfectly, right? The disciples, they're thinking, man, we've messed that up all the time. And now Jesus says, if we love him, right? This is a great fear that comes upon our soul. We will keep his commandments. So we're thinking, my gosh, we're done. If that's the standard, Jesus, we're done. Okay? We can't do that. We can't do that. So the question is, how do we really know that we love Jesus? And this is going to be good for you here. Be good for you. Because Jesus gives the answer in verse 16. Look at it. Jesus says, first of all, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Right? Notice how it's phrased. Doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, you love me. Okay? He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16, he says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. Another helper, right? There's This parakletos is what it is. You guys probably have all the translations. It's called a helper. He's called a helper, a counselor, a comforter. He's called an advocate. Okay? And so there's several names for the Holy Spirit. Not one of them is correct, and not all of them define the Holy Spirit. Okay? We're just talking about a couple aspects, right? Jesus says, I will give you a helper. That's what he calls the Holy Spirit in this particular context. But if we had to say it, well, who is the Holy Spirit? We would say he's a helper, a comforter. He's an advocate, which is probably the best description. He's a counselor. Okay? And counselor is not a bad word. Some of your translations probably say counselor, as long as you don't think he's talking about a camp counselor or a marriage counselor, because that's not the type of counselor we're talking about. Okay? And so it's important for us to look at this. There's many things that the Holy Spirit is, but probably the most important thing that you want to focus on in verse 16, and I want you to look at this with me. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He, do you see it? The personal pronoun. The most important thing you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that He is a He. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. Okay? In other words, if the Father is God and Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Okay? We don't want to treat the Holy Spirit like it's some, you've heard it translated the Holy Ghost. That's totally a misnomer. Okay? The Holy Spirit is a person. Okay? And so we treat the Holy Spirit as a person the same way we treat Christ as a person. Okay? The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. And so each person of the Trinity, each person of the Godhead, has a different role. And we've been seeing this as we've been going through John. This verse has all three of them in the same verse. I will ask the Father, that's Father God, and He will give you another helper, that's the Holy Spirit, that He will be with you forever. Right? And Jesus is the one who's going to do the asking. We have three persons. Okay? One God. Very important that we understand that. And so each one of them has a different role. Each one of them are God. They all have the same power, the essence, and character. And each one submits to the other in perfect union. Something that we could never understand, right? The Son submits to the Father, as we've already seen, and as we will see as He goes to the cross. And the Holy Spirit submits to the God, Father God, and the Son, as we'll see in this passage. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Christ, not Himself. Look at verse 16 again. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper. I love that. Okay? Because that indicates to us, or it indicates to the disciples in context, that Jesus was their helper, walking around with them, their protector, their teacher, all of these things, right? And so Jesus is leaving, and He says, don't worry about it. I'm sending you another helper. Who's going to take care of you, who's going to do all of the things that I did while I walked with you. Even more. Because not only is He just going to do those things that I did when I was with you while I walked with you, but He's going to do much more because He's going to bring a union with you and the Father and me that can never have been accomplished before. Greater. Remember we saw those last week. He said that you will do greater things. Greater things. And so we know that that has primarily to do with the ministry. But the point is that the Holy Spirit will always be there to strengthen, to encourage, to comfort, and to lead. To lead. There's an important concept for you to grab onto. The Holy Spirit isn't our maid or our butler. Okay? The Holy Spirit is there to lead us. Lead us. He's not waiting around for us to call Him whenever it's convenient. Oh, I'm having trouble. Holy Spirit, come and help me out. No, that's not the way it works. The Holy Spirit leads, and guess what? You follow. Okay? And so there's an indication, as we'll look at in a couple minutes, that there is a possibility of not following the Holy Spirit. And so what happens when we don't follow the Holy Spirit's lead? Then we don't obey Christ's commandments. See the connection? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Earlier, Jesus said, believe in me, right? Verse 1. In verse 11, He says, believe me. And now He says, love me. There's some prerequisites to all this, right? And it's imperative that you believe in Jesus. It's imperative that you believe Jesus, in other words, His Word. And it's conditional that you love Jesus. Conditional that you love Jesus. You see, mere dedication to the commandments will not produce obedience. Do you understand? Okay, we can't go out and go, okay, I know what the commandments are, and I'm going to go and do them explicitly, and I'm never going to mess up, and that way I'll prove that I love Jesus. Well, that's backwards to what Jesus is saying here. Okay, He says you have to believe in me first. You have to believe me, my word. Okay, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and then He gives you the ability to love Christ, to love Jesus, and therefore what you do is you start obeying His commandments out of love, and that proves to you that you have the Holy Spirit and that you love Jesus, right? Notice what He says, you will, to the disciples, you will keep my commandments. What does that say to the disciples at that time? That they haven't been doing very well. But He says, you will, it's yet future. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will obey my commandments. See it? That will prove to you that you love me because you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes us to believe when we put our trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit causes us to love Jesus when we put our trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit causes us to be obedient to what Christ has said because we put our trust in Christ, because we believe Him. Okay? The only caution I have for you at this point is most of us are thinking this, well, I don't do very good at that still, even with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Right? Because you only got two options. Well, what it means is, is that you're still you and the Holy Spirit's still leading and that you still have a long ways to go. Okay? It's not an excuse. See, the disciples had not yet received the Holy Spirit, right? But the evidence for them is that after He leaves, after He dies on the cross, after He returns to the Father, is that those things that weren't in them before He left are now evident in them, even if they're not perfect, after He left. Remember, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. If you manifest any of those things, God says, it can only be from the Holy Spirit. It cannot be in any other way. And you say, well, wait a minute, Sean. The world doesn't have the Holy Spirit and they manifest love, do they? Do they love Jesus? No, they don't. Do they care what God? No, they don't. So if all of a sudden you care and you love and you understand and you believe without question what God says in His Word, God says that that can only be because you have received the Holy Spirit. See the confidence? We say, oh my gosh, I do. I read this and it just makes sense to me. Okay? Not sense in the word of comprehension, but sense in the word of, hey, I believe what He says. Right? If every other verse for you is a battle, well, I know Jesus says that, but that's not what He really, really means. If every other verse for you is a battle, then you may not know the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. I hear it all the time. People are, oh, I love Jesus so much, and the Holy Spirit works in me, and then, you know. But what about this verse? Well, I don't believe that verse. Well, that would be in opposition to what Jesus just said. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So it's made manifest. So all believers today, right, if we say that we love Jesus, we'll keep His commandments. And so this is the evidence that we believe because we desire to keep His commandments. Why do we desire to keep His commandments? Because that's what Jesus desires. And so the Holy Spirit says He's going to be in you. Christ is going to be in you. And if that's Christ's desire, then that's our desire. It just makes sense. Man, I love this. I love everything about our God. I'm not perfect in following Him, but I love everything about our God. That must mean that I know who Christ is. Right? That must mean I know that the Holy Spirit is in me because I have this supernatural desire to do what pleases Christ. 1 John 4:19 put it like this: we love because He first loved us. Wow, it's not that we loved Him. Don't you see it? Can you think of the day when all of a sudden you said, oh, I just love Jesus with all my heart, my soul? No, you can't. There was a transformation first. And then you said, wow, I think I'm in love with this guy. 1 John 2:4 says, the one who says, I have come to know Him and does not keep His commandments is a what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. Who's the truth? Jesus, right? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus is the truth, right? And He says, if you have no desire to keep His commandments implicitly, cheerfully, right? And perseveringly, He says, guess what? The truth is not in you. John says later on that, look, Jesus' commandments, God's commandments, are not burdensome. Boy, that was huge for me in my belief, right? I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know what? I really don't mind trying to obey the Lord. They're not burdensome to me. Oh, you mean really? Right? Love my mother and father. You think that's like funny, but you know how many people I run into? Oh, my mother and father weren't exactly stellar parents, and so I don't, you know, hear it all the time. Is that what God said? Love your mother and father if they were good? No, it says honor your father and mother, period. It doesn't matter what their status is. He gave them to you sovereignly, and so you honor them because you believe Christ, period. Okay? See how that works? See how that works? And so we have to know what Jesus' commandments are first, right? If we're going to follow them. Because that's our question. What are the commandments? Is that the 10 that we got in the old? Yeah, well, they're included in that. But Jesus likes to sum it up a different way so that it helps us out to understand what He's talking about, right? If we just looked in John, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, or He commanded us that we love one another back in chapter 13. You mean, Sean, in order to love Jesus and to follow His commandments, we got to love one another? Yeah. That's kind of cool, I think. Right? We got to love one another. He says back in verse 13 and 14, He says that we believe in His name. Well, there's one of His commandments, right? We have to believe in His name. We have to love one another. Verse 21, He's going to tell us that we have to believe His teaching. In other words, implicitly, we believe what He says. We take it at the Word of God. Okay? And He says, and that we literally, in verse 23 and 24, have to keep His word. In other words, we have to love His word. We have to keep His word. What He says is what we are supposed to do. Okay? He says, that's what His commandments are. Look at what 1 John says again. And 1 John was written by the Apostle John, so of course this matches up. Listen to what he says. I want you to see it in here. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence. See the word? Before God, that whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment that we what? Believe, right? See it? This is His commandment that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him. We know, listen to what it says, we know, I love it, by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. And that just says everything. He says if you love His commandments, if you love Him, then that proves to you that you have the Holy Spirit, and that also helps you and gives you confidence that you'll be able to do what He says to do. Remember when the Pharisees came to Jesus, right? They wanted to trick Him. They wanted to trap Him. Hey, tell us which one is the greatest commandment out of the Ten Commandments, right? And Jesus says, I'll tell you which one is the greatest, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. See it? Because if you do that, you cover the other ten. you cover the other 10. Okay? So it's a big deal. So the Holy Spirit helps us, right? What He does for us is He helps us to trust in Christ. He enables us, right, to believe and to love and to follow Christ. Right? And that's really what the disciples are freaking out about. They're like, man, we haven't done so well at this commandment thing. We messed up the love thing when we didn't wash your feet, right, in the upper room. And so how are we going to be able to do that when you're gone? We barely do it when you're here. And He says, don't worry about it. I'm going to give you a helper. And the helper is going to do what? It's going to lead you and show you and guide you in loving Me and following My commandments. So these disciples don't understand, but He's saying, look, if these are manifested in you, He's telling us today even, if this is manifested in you, right, then we must have the Holy Spirit, because the world cannot know Jesus. The world cannot know Christ or His commandments without divine intervention. Look at verse 16. He says, I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may be with you forever. Forever is a good word. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or know Him. He says, but you know Him. Okay? That's how we know Him. So not only does the Holy Spirit cause us to love and obey Jesus, but He also causes us to really know who Christ is. That's a great confidence. If we have the Holy Spirit, He's going to cause us to really know who Christ is. Remember, Jesus says, if you love Me. The word if there is kind of indicative of something, isn't it? If you love Me. Which means you may not. The world cannot know Christ without the Spirit. The world cannot see Christ spiritually without the Spirit. And so this is the evidence by the fact that the world does not love or obey Jesus. Right? You got a lot of people out there that go, oh, I love Jesus. I don't hate Him. But do you follow Him? Well, no, I don't. Buddha or yoga or something else. Right? Is Jesus the Son of God to you? Is Jesus the second person of the Trinity? Is Jesus dwelling in you because He is God, because the Holy Spirit united Him to you? Well, I don't know exactly who Jesus is, but I just know. Well, He says, you know what? You can't know Him. This is the Spirit of truth. You can only know one thing, and that's the truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see Him for who He is or know Him. He says, but you will know Him. And so this main reason that we can believe and know and love and follow Christ is because the Holy Spirit actually takes up residence within us. So if the Holy Spirit is in you, it is impossible for you not to love and obey Christ. Wow. Okay, here's my second point. The Holy Spirit causes us to be united with Himself and Christ forever. Look at verse 17. And that is the Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive. They can't receive Him. Why? Because it does not see Him or know Him. In other words, you can't deny any part of the Trinity and know or see Christ. There's a lot of religions out there that believe in God, but they deny the Holy Spirit. They deny Christ as God. Okay? You can't have one without the other. If the Son is in the Father and the Father is in the Son and the Holy Spirit is in both of them, then you cannot deny either one of them. Okay? You can't have God in you without Christ. That's just the truth of it. And He says that the world cannot see Him or know Him. He says, but you know Him because He abides with you. And the reason He says abides with you, remember who He's talking about. He's talking to the disciples. Put it in context. He said, you guys know the Holy Spirit. He's been beside you the whole time. That's what parakletos means. He's been beside you the whole time, but check it out. After I die, after I go to the cross, after I return to the Father, He's going to be... Notice what it says at the end of the verse. Will be in you. Okay? Which means after the cross, when you put your trust in Christ, where does the Holy Spirit reside? In you. Okay? Very important for us to understand. So if the Holy Spirit's whole job is to exalt Christ, to make Christ known to us, to help us to obey and to love Christ, then it would be impossible for you to not have any of those attributes manifested in you and have the Holy Spirit in you. That would be the opposition of the Spirit. Okay? People say, oh, well, you know, I keep on sinning and I've been doing this thing and I want to live my own lifestyle. And, you know, I still love Jesus even though I'm not obedient to him. Well, that would be impossible. Jesus died on the cross to take away what? Sin. And so if he lives in you, if the Holy Spirit resides in you, then he came to take away your sin. So if you're still living, practicing, breathing, loving your sin, then you don't have the Spirit of God. You don't know Christ. That's the truth of it. I don't know how many times I've had to say that to people. I'm going to live the way I want to live despite Jesus. Well, then you don't know him. Simple as that. And so the disciples knew of the Holy Spirit, but they don't know the Holy Spirit. That's why they're a little foggy at this point. Man, what does all this mean? Right? Look at verse 17. He, the Spirit of truth, abides with you and will be in you. We are united with Christ forever through the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Well, how are you going to come to us, Jesus? He's not talking about the end days. He's talking about a few short days after his death. He's going to come to them. How? Via the Holy Spirit. He's going to be resurrected. He's going to appear to them. And then he's going to go sit at the Father's throne, and the Holy Spirit's going to come, right, and dwell in believers, and all he's going to do is present Christ to us. Just unite us with Jesus. That's what he's saying. And after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you'll see me because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, in that day, and that's the day we're talking about, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. See it? It's tremendous. Positionally, when we believed, we were betrothed to Christ. When you put your trust in Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, you're now united supernaturally with Jesus, okay, and you are betrothed. Everybody understand what the word betrothed means? It means you're the bride-to-be to Christ, right? Revelation 19. You are going to be married to Christ, and so he betrothed you. I want you to look at something, in fact. Turn to Ephesians, a couple chapters or a couple books ahead of where we're at. You got Romans, Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, right? Galatians, and then you got Ephesians. About three or four books. Turn to Ephesians 1. I want you to see this thing about betrothed. Because I want to give you confidence, but I also want to, I want you to be excited about this. Okay? I don't want you to go home today and go, oh, yeah, the Holy Spirit's in me. I mean, what is that? Okay, I want you to be excited about it. Look at Ephesians 1. I want you to see something. This is fantastic. Okay? Remember I tell you, if you want to put a verse on your refrigerator magnet, put this one on there. Okay? Get rid of the Jesus is my co-pilot one. Okay? Because that's a lie. And put this verse on your refrigerator. Okay? Ephesians 1, we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. I want you to see the beauty in this. Okay? How can we obey his commandments, Sean? How can we be loyal to him? How can we please him, right? Because you have the Spirit in you. Look at what he says in verse 13. You with me? Everybody with me? In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having what? Believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, now, I want you to see this word sealed. It's a great word. In other words, when Christ returned to the Father and he sent the Holy Spirit to you because you believed, he gave you, same word in the Old Testament, an engagement ring. You with me? The Holy Spirit is an engagement ring because you are promised to Christ at the end of the age to be married to him. You are betrothed to him. Same word. Only this engagement ring can't be broken, right? He says, I promise you this ring. This is the ring that you and I will be together forever, and it cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. I love this. Verse 13. He says, with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given, see the word, as a pledge of our inheritance. In other words, God says, I promise you that I will bring you to myself, and you will be with me forever in eternity. And just so that you have confidence in that, I'm going to send you a pledge, a promise ring, the Holy Spirit, that says this is going to happen. That's the confidence we have. Okay? It's not, hey, we hope someday we'll be in eternity with Christ. No, he says, look, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have him forever. That's the pledge. That's the promise. You're going to be with him forever. He says, a pledge of our inheritance. What's our inheritance? Eternity with Christ. With a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Notice it, to the praise of his glory. The reason God says, I'm going to give you this pledge, this engagement ring, is because it glorifies me. Well, how does it glorify God? Well, God says, I promise this to you. And so Titus 1:2 says that it is impossible for God to lie. He has to keep his promise. And so if we love Christ, we're obedient to Christ, it can only mean we have the Holy Spirit, which gives us confidence that that pledge is true and that we will have eternity. We will have eternity. Conversely, if we are walking in opposition to the Spirit, if we are walking in opposition to Christ, if we are disgruntled with his commandments, then he says, the truth of it is that the Holy Spirit is not in you and you do not know Christ. Remember? So Jesus says, because the Holy Spirit resides in you, he says, I will come to you, you will see me, and that he will be in us and that we will be in him. And so the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit, as I said, is to exalt Christ in our lives, to show us who he really is, so that we can love him with all of our affection. We can love him. And so this is the whole purpose, right, is to point to Jesus, to shine the light on Jesus, to make Jesus our focus. Because that's his focus. That's the Holy Spirit's focus. If he's in you and he says, hey, I want you to know who Jesus is. I want you to really know who he is. I want you to really love him. I want you to really lift him up and exalt him. Okay? So if those things happen in us, which are not intrinsic to the world, it must mean there's something different in us than there is in the world. Right? Remember when you didn't believe? You didn't exalt Jesus. You didn't love Jesus. You didn't follow his commandments. You didn't care. So now on this side of it, all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, gosh, you know what? I really do love Jesus and I like following him and I dig on his word. What's different about me now that was different then is that I must have the Holy Spirit, because he says nobody does this without the Holy Spirit. I love it. I remember my first few years of my walk, there was a lot of times the contrast between my old life and my new life was so drastic, right, that nobody believed me. I was in my town and nobody believed me. Even after 10 years of ministry, I still ran into people all the time and says, no. Okay? Didn't matter what the evidence was. But for me, it mattered what the evidence was. Because I would be sitting there listening to preaching and teaching. I would read his word, right? I wouldn't say, oh, I got to get up at 7 in the morning and read his word. That makes his commandments what? Burdensome. It's, man, I can't wait till tomorrow morning. I can't wait till tomorrow afternoon. I can't wait till I get home. I can't wait to listen to that tape on my radio. I can't, right? Oh, we got to go to Sunday service. Pastor Sean is so boring. Burdensome, right? But for me, I was loving it, all the teaching, and I was eating it up, and I wanted more and more and more and more. I couldn't get enough, man. And then it would dawn on me. I really do love him. I really do care about his word. I really do like being next. Man, I must believe. And in context for today, it must mean, wait a minute, I must have the Holy Spirit, because it says this doesn't happen unless you do. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous. Jesus says in John 16, listen to it, he, the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take of mine and he will disclose it to you. See that? He's going to take Christ, he's going to give it to you, and he's going to just make him magnified in your life. magnified in your life. Okay? Magnified in your life. It's almost like you're dealing with your teenage kids. It's the only illustration I could think of. Right? Your teenage kids, right? You go, hey, we got to, you know, you can't stay over Billy's tonight because we got we got church in the morning. Right? And so it's almost like Jesus is talking to his disciples because you're thinking to yourself, okay, they don't know it now, but they're going to know it later. When the Holy Spirit comes upon them, they're going to go, Jesus, I used to hate going on Sunday mornings, and now I love going on Sunday mornings. This must mean something changed. Okay? Our desire becomes to love Christ and exalt Christ in our lives. Our desire becomes to love one another. Our desire becomes to please Christ. Why? Because He's in us, and that's His desire. And so anything in opposition to His desire would mean that we don't know Him. This is what the Holy Spirit, like, look at this. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. How? Through the Holy Spirit. Verse 22. Judas, now here's Judas, here's the question, right? It's right in the middle of it all. Judas says, hey, well, what happened now that didn't happen then? Look at it. Judas Iscariot said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you are going to disclose yourself to us, but not the world? And that's what Jesus has been saying the whole time, right? Oh, this is great. Let me tell you, Judas, what has happened. What has happened is I'm going to the Father, but I'm sending a helper. And when he indwells you, you're going to know me more than you've ever known me before. That's what's happened. That's what's happened. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. I love that. It's the word Monet. You know when the other time he used the word Monet? When he says, I go to my Father's house to prepare a Monet for you, a place for you, an abode for you, a house for you. But check this out. I'm not only going to prepare a house for you, but me and the Father, notice he says we in that, right? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will build our house. We will tabernacle. We will be in you. Remember, Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you want to know what God's like, all you have to do is look at what I'm like. And he says, we will be in you. Isn't that wonderful? I think it is. Don't get too excited. Because Jesus is in the Father in verse 20, and we are in Him, and both the Father and Son reside within us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes us to have a supernatural union with Christ, something that wasn't possible before Jesus died. So the Holy Spirit causes us to know, love, and obey Christ. The Holy Spirit causes us to be united with Him and Christ forever. Lastly here, real quick, I know we're running out of time. The Holy Spirit causes us to have a supernatural understanding. Remember we said that we will be able to understand. Look at what he says in verse 24. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but it's the Father's who sent me. Remember, Jesus exalts the Father. Holy Spirit exalts Jesus. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. In other words, I'm here with you now, but the Helper is going to come in verse 26. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance everything that I said to you. That's a wonderful statement. If you understand it. Holy Spirit will teach you all things. I've had people take this out of context and go, well, we don't need to read our Bible because all I have to do is pray and the Holy Spirit will reveal everything to me. Is that what Jesus just said? No. He says, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to remind you. He's going to give you remembrance of everything that I said to you. So that actually indicates that we have to what? Love and read His Word. You ever lament over the fact that you can't memorize Scripture? Everybody does. Okay? People come to me, I wish I could remember Scripture like you, Pastor Sean. I'm like, you don't have any clue. It goes in this side and right out the other. Okay? So we got to read it, which means we have to love it, which means we have to know Him, which means we have to meditate, practice, look, read, right? And then he says the Holy Spirit will give you remembrance. What does Jesus say about adultery? Oh, yeah. I remember now. Okay? So he gives us spiritual insight. He says in verse 26, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance of everything I said. Now, let me give you a quick note about understanding here as we close. Understanding is not comprehension. Okay? There's a difference. Just like I said when we started this. The world comprehends what Jesus is saying. Okay, I can read this to any guy on the street who has no idea who Christ is, and he'll go, oh, I think he's saying that you get the Holy Spirit, right? He comprehends it. The world's not stupid. They're just blind. But understanding means that you have a supernatural acceptance of what Christ has said. Okay? I have this conversation all the time with Christians, unfortunately. God said he made the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Well, I know the Bible says that, but, right? Scientists are so much smarter than God. And they say the world is 240 billion years old. How can you believe what God says in his word because science has proven this and proven that, right? I believe what God says in his word because I have a supernatural understanding that says 6 literal days. That's all I have to know. Okay? Now, don't get freaked out here. Your understanding is developed, okay? If you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, I'm not a believer because I still have the 240 million day thing or year thing in my head. Okay? Don't get freaked out about that. But he says that you will love it, you will understand it, you will receive it as the Word of God. It will be sealed in your heart. I don't even have to question, was there a resurrection? I don't care. God said it, I believe it. Okay? And so that's what we're talking about when we say understand. To know that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. To know that he was raised from the dead. Right? You can't say that you take Jesus at his word. Remember, we read it in 1 John. You can't say that you take him at his word, that you love his word, and then deny what he says. Either by your voice or by your actions. Right? A lot of Christians in the world saying, oh, I believe what God says, but they're going in the opposite direction by their actions. You can't say you believe one thing and then live another way outside these doors. Because that would say that would prove to you, that would be an indicator of, that you have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. You have no idea who Christ is. Okay? I'm not talking about perfection here. We're talking about affection. Okay? Affection. You don't get married. I mean, think about this relationship. We talked about betrothed, and then we'll close. For most of us in here, we had a dating relationship before we got married. Okay? And in that dating relationship, you fell in love with your wife or you fell in love with your husband and all you wanted to do was be near them, right? I mean, that was the stage where you were opening the door. You're on your phone, not a cell phone. You're on a phone. We had a party line. Anybody have a party line, right? I want to talk to your girlfriend. You go, hey, can I use the phone, you know, right? You're on the phone all night till like 3 in the morning. All you can do is think about them all day, and they're thinking about you all day, and you're just so enamored over them. Right? That's what he's talking about, okay? But infinitely more, okay? That's a human kind of affection, a human kind of love. It's nice, but it goes away, okay, to some extent. But Christ says, with the Spirit of God, with Christ in you, right? This affection keeps going. I'm 15 years removed from the first day I said I do, and there are days when I'm thinking, man, I love you more now than I even did then. Okay? And I don't go, oh, well, that must mean I'm a real good spiritual. No. I'm amazed. I can't fathom why. So there can only be one reason, right? There can only be one reason, he says, that you know and you have the Holy Spirit, because these things only come about. He says that we have the mind of Christ, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. We have the mind of Christ. And so if we have the mind of Christ, we're going to start thinking like Jesus, aren't we? We're going to start thinking His thoughts, His cares, His affections. Paul says in Romans 8:7, because the mindset of the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, the commandments of God, for it is not able to do so. If you don't have the mind of Christ, then you reject those things. That's what Paul says. But Jesus says in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things, and He will bring to remembrance all that I said to you. If you love me, right, you will keep my commandments. And if you keep on loving me and keep on loving me and keep on loving me, then you're going to know that I am in you, that the Holy Spirit is in you. Because it's impossible to do without. It's impossible to do without. John says this, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been truly perfected. Don't you like that? If we keep following and we keep loving, and it's not like you can tell on the road, you got to get down the road a little bit, and then you look back and you go, man, I'm still loving, and I'm still keeping, and I'm still following. Man, that can only mean one thing, according to Jesus' promise, is that I must have the Holy Spirit. And so John says here that the love of God has been truly perfected in you. It means that you're not perfect, but God's love is perfect in you. By this we know that we are in Him, he says. And so the Holy Spirit, just to take with you this week, gives you that ability, that supernatural ability to love and obey Christ, to know who He really is, right? And He causes us to be united with Jesus forever, to know Him, to see Him rightly, to exalt Him, to love Him. And the Holy Spirit causes us to have that understanding where we believe what He says. And we grab onto what He says, and we will not let go. We will not let go. No matter what else happens. The writer of Hebrews says that Jesus is our anchor. I always think about that anchor, because I never really thought about it until I started looking at the Delta, right? See, on those stormy days, a dude drops his anchor, and that boat's just going around and around and around. That's our lives. There's just turmoil. There's waves, and there's bumps. But that, notice that the boat never leaves the what? The anchor. It stays with the anchor. Okay? And that's us. That's His confidence. That's what He's trying to encourage His disciples with. Look, I'm going away, but don't worry about it. I've got this covered. Okay? I'm going to be your anchor forever. No matter what, I'm going to be your anchor. Let us pray. Oh, cannot believe we squeezed that in, Lord. So much anxiety, but you know what? There's so much truth in that too. And so my prayer today, Father God, especially through the Spirit, and this is not my promise, this is your promise, Lord, that we would have an understanding, that this would be sealed in our hearts, that this would give us a confidence that causes us to just stand firm in the world, to stand firm against opposition, to stand firm against adversity, to stand firm against trials. My other prayer, Father God, is if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you today, that doesn't truly know the love of Jesus, that they would cry out. There's no time like now to cry out, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to have an understanding, to have a knowledge, to have a love that they've never had before, Father God. If there's anything encouraging in this, it's that in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, in a transformation that can't even be perceived, that they would begin to know and love and be guided today. Thank you for your words. I pray for all of us here sweepingly, Father God, that we would continue to believe your words, that we would continue to believe you, that we would continue to love you, and that most assuredly we would continue striving and scratching and scraping to obey your commandments each and every day.
We thank you for these truths. Seal this confidence in our hearts today, Father God, as we continue on. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this worship today in you. We pray this in your lovely name, Jesus Christ. Amen.